So thank you so much for staying late in the day. I know you probably have a lot of plans in the city. It's such beautiful weather. I'm a pediatric emergency medicine physician by training. I'm a native San Franciscan. I hope that you're enjoying my hometown. As you can see, I'm director of the Institute for Child Health Policy from Nova Southeastern University. Mary Pat Frittner works for Lynn Olson. They are with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they run the research center there. Dimitri Christakis, you may recognize his name. He's renowned in his research on the impact of media and advertising on children 0 to 5, and in particular early childhood brain development. If you go to the TED Talks on YouTube, you'll love his following. He's got about 200,000 people that look at his TED Talks. He's amazing. And then Gil Fold is a past board member of the American Academy of Pediatrics. I'm also the Executive Committee Chair for the American Academy of Pediatrics Council on Media and Communications. So in background, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that pediatricians be trained to educate parents and children on media risks, and we believe that media is a health issue that has significant outcome on children's health in a number of ways. And parents have been surveyed, and we've discovered that the majority absolutely want some guidance and good counseling on both the positives and the things to worry about and be concerned with respect to media. But unfortunately, only about 15% of those parents stated that their pediatricians actually offered them that information. And so at the end of the day, we really have little known about young physicians, those that are just coming out of residency, in terms of the way they believe the importance of media is as part of their training, and whether they felt that they were trained well enough to be able to provide counseling and guidance to the families. And so we wanted to be able to hear from them and learn from them and see where we might be of help to provide them the information that they require. And what is media to us? It would be anything that impacts attitudes, behaviors, choices, and consequences, as we have heard very well stated in the prior presentations as to how you can improve the quality of life for young people. When I got this from one of my daughters, I thought it was the perfect way to describe all the different manners by which we use social media. Just look at a donut. And so if you want to just take a quick look at, you know, Twitter's hashtag donut, Facebook is I like donuts, and then you go down to YouTube, here I am, I'm eating a donut. And, you know, Pinterest is really popular now. I know that I found out how to kill ants with an organic method by my daughter finding it on Pinterest recently. So there's just a lot of fun you can have these days with so much. And even already Google Plus is on its way out, so things change so quickly. Ads, we consider this secondary, like secondhand smoke. This is secondhand media exposure. A lot of children might be in the household while the older kids or the parents are watching things like American Idol or The Voice and be recognizing brands of Coca-Cola in this case. And so we take responsibility for looking at food and marketing advertising and work with the federal government on those interagency collaboratives to protect children from heavy exposure to promotion of different products that aren't necessarily in their best interest. And so here again with Adver games, you know, health games are very fun, really popular, virtual interaction. The corporations here say, oh, no, we are not advertising to children. But who's eating these things? Of course they are. And the games are geared for 6 and 8-year-olds. And so again, pediatricians can be very helpful in guiding parents as to how to curtail some of this influence in a better way. So the research questions that we were able to insert into an annual survey that's provided residents twice during their last year of training were, as you can see them, do residents believe that frequent media use is a health issue for children and adolescents? Are residents prepared to provide anticipatory guidance? Are they getting the education that they deserve from the faculty that is responsible for their training? And how often do residents counsel on media during well-child visits? I should mention to you there are 60,000 pediatricians that belong to the AAP, and there might be 20,000 more out there in the United States that could belong, but that's a large population, and therefore we can have a lot of influence with the number of residents that are coming out in this space. And so here we are again, and these are the things that are coming at us every day. The statistics bear out, I'm sure you've seen this in other presentations in the last couple of days, about 80% of all U.S. citizens, residents own some cellular or smartphone device. The Hispanic population, a little over 50%, have smartphones. Right under that in the 45, up or down a couple of points, would be African Americans and APIs. And so on any given moment, you can be in the elevator, walking in the street, you can be in the protection of your home, and Googling, searching, Facebooking, Instagramming, whatever you feel as though you're interested in the moment. And that's a lot to consume and understand when you're trying to figure out how to resuscitate a kid in the emergency department or save a newborn baby who was born with some deficiencies and still get the messages on media and education. So again, the AAP graduating resident survey has been in effect for many years. It's sent out to 1,000 randomized residents in May and then June at the end of their third year. And as you can see, it's mailed both by email and snail mail. And of those questions, we're really lucky to be getting the approval from the Academy to insert 16 questions total about media. Traditional media would be TV, movies, video. New media is as you see it. But again, there's a lot of blending these days. I'm sure you're familiar with social TV now, meaning that you can be watching the TV screen, but of course you're texting the vote for the person that you want to win from American Idol, or you're Facebooking or you're Instagramming what's going on around you. And so there's social TV now. The response rate was 58%. That may seem low to you, but that's pretty darn good for physicians. We're really awful at answering surveys, so it's pretty darn good. I'm proud of that. There was no gender bias or age. It was reflective of our workforce, and in pediatrics, the majority of pediatricians are female. And 15% are graduates of foreign medical schools. So these are methods. And so here are the results. The percent of residents reporting that frequent media and is a health issue for children, traditional, absolutely, strongly agreed. These were dichotomized, so it's strongly agreed or agreed, neutral, fair, poor. And so you can see the vast majority believe that this indeed was important. When you look at these questions that we ask them specifically, remember, kids are digital snackers from the moment they get up till even little ones. I don't know if you've seen the new Toys R Us notepads. Basically, they look like mommy and daddy's notepads, their Kindles, etc. There's one for Toys R Us now that you'll be seeing kids wanting to have for their new Christmas or Hanukkah presents. And so these make a lot of sense, don't they? If you consider, number one, advise families on texting and driving, it's absolutely important. Why? It makes sense. The number one death for children 16 to 19 is motor vehicle crashes. So if you're texting, that's going to increase the death rate. In 2010, I'm sorry to report to you that there were 16 to 19-year-olds, 7 every day dying from motor vehicle crashes. This is a huge concern for us. And then, of course, asking families about established rules and expectations for interactive media. It's no longer when, some of us were younger, lights out, sit, everybody go to bed. No, now it's electric or electronic curfew. Hand me the cell phone, put it in the box in the kitchen. If they have TVs in the bedroom, TVs go off. And so now you're talking about electronic curfews and trying to figure out how you get them in a reasonable lifestyle where they're going to sleep and they're not too tired when they go to school in the morning, especially adolescents. They're texting all night long and somebody gets upset and then you've got strings of texts going on all night long and they can't concentrate in school. So the resident training in media issues are as you see them. Was there enough training provided about recommending no TV in children's bedrooms? If you have seen some of the research, and especially with minority populations, 8 to 10 hours a day children are spending on use of television or some form of social media. Just let you look at those for a moment if you'd like. And so what surprised us, if you see on the bottom, it's only half of them see positive uses or were receiving information about positive uses. There's some great ways you can use social media, and I'll get to those in a little bit. So the residence rating of the residency program is pretty sad for us in that 62% felt that it was poor or fair. But remember, this is self-reported data, and also it could be that they just didn't have a dynamic speaker like Dr. Pleasant was this morning, who basically might have been doing a soft shoe and explaining why media is important, and then you're really paying attention because it's fun and interesting. It may be that they just didn't have someone who was making it fun and it just sort of went over their head, so we don't know about that. In terms of resident-rated ability to counsel families, they felt reasonably good, a third of them, about traditional and really not so much about new media. And again, the landscape's changing so rapidly, it is hard to keep up and knowing what to say. So Jason was a late bloomer. He didn't start texting until he's 18 months. What am I to do about this? I think Dr. Dolgen sitting up front, her twins are started around 15 months, didn't they? So kids inhabit a digital culture. If you consider one of the presenters yesterday talked about it being an appendage. Because if you consider, I know I do, I don't know how you feel about it, but if I don't feel my cell phone or I don't hear it with the little angel chime, I think, oh no, I left it somewhere. Where is it? I start looking for it because it's so much a part of me now. You've got Bluetooths in your car. They're getting smaller and smaller and smaller and so cute. You know, they're tiny. You can make them personalized with the cases that you put on them. Kids really like them as a decorative. And then there becomes that intimate feeling with them. So when you're looking at, for example, you want to have information, let's say, as a teen about chlamydia or some other sexually transmitted disease, you can use your smartphone to find out that information, and it's private, as opposed to putting it on a desktop at your house or at school or a library where people can see what you're looking up. So again, it reinforces that intimacy with your appendage, the phone. And so therefore, we really want to be able to help guide the families, the children, the adolescents on the appropriate use of it. In terms of counseling rates, traditional versus new, you can see the results were, as you would note in the earlier slides, they feel that they're reasonably well-versed, and so we appreciate that. And we talked about this already. So in summary, nearly all graduating pediatric residents believe that both traditional and new media are a health issue for children. That's good. We're glad to know that they feel that way. The majority of residents do not, however, feel that they were well-trained. I mean, there's such a vast amount of information that the American College of Graduate Medical Education demands of us in training young residents. It's hard to be able to create more requirements within that structure. However, all of us know that we have to be familiar with this in some manner, and so it's our task to figure out how do we get that done. The residents are more likely to counsel families on traditional rather than new media simply because they grew up with it, and so they know it better and they feel more comfortable with it. And due to the increasing importance of both traditional and new media in children's lives, additional training of pediatric residents is certainly warranted. Well, the good news is at the Academy, there are 4 national strategies each year, and all the resources of the Academy are funneled into those 4 agenda items that are the future for children, our national strategies. They selected this year media for children and adolescents as the number one national strategy. So all of our resources are going into that direction to help both the office practice pediatricians, the subspecialists and pediatricians in practice, the residents, and we're working with the American Board of Pediatrics now to insert questions and modules in our maintenance of certification, which we're all required to do now, that is specific to media. So that's huge, and it probably doesn't sound like much to people who aren't being grueled by these tests every 7 years, but believe me, it's a really big deal. And also we're helping medical students and residents and young physicians through our sections and councils and committees. And so I thank you very much for your attention, and be happy to answer any questions if you have them later on.
Thank you so much.